Should the Assassin of Gandhi Be Killed? Pearl S. Buck. Introduction. Pearl Siddenstricker Buck, a prolific American novelist, spent a major part of her life in China as the daughter of missionaries. She was born on June 26, 1892, in Hillsboro, West Virginia. Committed to the missionary work, Buck's parents, Absalom and Caroline Siddenstricker, took her to China when she was only 6 months old. In 1917, she married John Losing Buck. She turned to writing in the late 1920s when both her parents were in bad health. The commitment to writing helped her to overcome the psychological depression and the financial crisis of the family. She published her first novel, East Wind, West Wind, in 1930. Her next novel, The Good Earth, earned her a Pulitzer Prize in 1932. After having won the prize, she went back to the United States and spent the rest of her life there. In 1935, she received a formal divorce from John Buck and married Richard Welch, one of her publishers. She became the first American woman Nobel laureate in 1938. Buck was a social activist, standing for civil rights and women's rights. She started an adoption agency, Welcome House, in 1948 for the rehabilitation of deprived Asian American children. Some of her bestsellers include China Sky, 1941, The Dragon Seed, 1942, and children's books like The Water Buffalo Children, 1943, and The Christmas Ghost, 1960. She died in March 1973 of lung cancer. Mahatma Gandhi, the father of the nation, who famously said, "My life is my message," was the greatest pacifist who lived in the turbulent 20th century. The world perceived his weapons of ahimsa and satyagraha as alternatives to the bloodshedding ideologies of war and violence. Albert Einstein famously said of him, "Generations to come, it may be, will scarce believe that such a one as this ever in flesh and blood walked upon this earth." When he was shot dead by Nathuram Vinay Godse, Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru famously moaned, "The light has gone out of our leaves and there is darkness everywhere." The assassination of Gandhi had evoked strong reaction in many notable writers and statesmen across the globe, and Pearl S. Buck was no exception. Her comment was that Gandhi was always right and was the voice of conscience in our turbulent life. The essay is noted for Pearl S. Buck's condensed, simple style of prose writing. The obituary is written in the context of her having never met Gandhiji. "My visits to India always seems to coincide with his visits to jail." The extract reveals how and why the charismatic leader touched the heart and soul of the world. As a humanitarian, she says, "No war brings peace, for violence only brings more violence." Let's move to the text. Gandhi is dead. His ashes are scattered in the waters and over the earth of India. The indomitable frame, the fearless spirit, the long years, the high purpose, all were ended so easily. It was over in one instant, the shot of a gun, and only silence is left, silence and a handful of ashes. It is no wonder that the ignorant, the stupid, the inventors of atom bombs, the generals, the captains, the surgeons, the little soldiers are the lovers of violence. All that they fear, all that they hate, all who rebel against them can be so easily ended. The movement of a finger upon a trigger, upon a button, a flash, a blast, and all that remain are silence and ashes. Today, a million can be killed as easily as a thousand as easily as one. Gandhi was only one. His voice was single, always gentle, always reasoning. It was the voice of conscience in our turbulent life. He was right. He knew he was right. We all knew he was right. The man who killed him knew he was right. However, long the follies of violence continue. They but prove that Gandhi was right. Non-violence is the only common sense for human beings. We die so easily. Our bodies are soft and unprotected. The brain, the heart, the soul are perilously lodged. We cannot wait for peace to be made, for arguments to be settled, for the quarrelsomeness of selfish men to subside. Before that settlement comes, life is over. At all cost, Gandhi said, we must refuse to use violence. Resist to the very end, he said, but without violence. To a world confusing violence with power, these words seem too simple to be true. Yet truth is always simple. Men win confusions and entanglements because they are afraid of simple truth. But truth is not changed. It is still simple. It is more fundamental than the atom itself. Consider the young Hindu who sits in prison today, so heavily guarded because he killed Gandhi. Is he to die or to live? If we are to take Gandhi literally, and I think he meant always to be taken literally, that man should not die by violence, even as punishment for a crime. Suppose, fantastically, that he should be released. Gandhi was often in prison, and perhaps he would not want his murderer confined. Suppose, absurdly, that the assassin went free. What would be his life? Could he escape what he has done? I think never. Whenever he went among his own people, none would receive him. He could not hide, for he would be watched for and dreaded. None would want to touch his hand, the hand that killed Gandhi. Women would fear him, and children would be taught to despise him. Where could he find home and friends? There would be no place for him upon earth. He would be outcast. He would be haunted by Gandhi's own spirit, the spirit of Gandhi, in other men. Working for his freedom and his safety would be his destruction or his regeneration. For this man has a conscience, or he would not have killed Gandhi. The utter goodness of Gandhi's spirit, working upon the human conscience, drives men to destroy themselves from despair or to be born again. The world longs for goodness. The people search for righteousness. There is no weapon, no bomb so powerful as the force of a great good spirit. India will live and become great in our world only as her people use this priceless force, the force of non-violence, which the life of Gandhi exemplified for them. In that personal example was Gandhi's secret. He did what he told others to do. When people saw that this was true, they believed in him. Gandhi has done his part. It now remains for the people of India to take upon themselves his world leadership for non-violence. Indeed, it is the only way in which India can fulfill the promise of her greatness. Of violence, the world is sick. By hatred and quarrels, we are surfeited and poisoned. The hearts of the people turn away from the noise of militarists and warmongers. We long for the peacemakers. No war brings peace, for violence only brings more violence. O India, dare be worthy of your Gandhi. Thank you.